Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, God Will Give You the Ability, as we pick up in John chapter 5, verse 9. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Many times the Lord gives to us commands that to us seem like impossible commands. Maybe there's an area of weakness in our life that we have struggled with for years. It has kept us in a defeated state. And the Lord says, all right, now don't do that again. And we say, oh, Lord, you don't know how I'd like to quit. Oh, you don't know how miserable I am when I do this. I don't get any joy out of it. And we argue with Jesus. And we tell him all the times we've tried. We told him all of the programs that we've been on. All of the books we've read. All of the money we've spent trying to change our behavioral patterns. And I'm still the same. And we're arguing with him, rather than willing to obey. Now, one thing we must learn, and that is, though Jesus gives to us what seems to be an impossible command, that Jesus never commands us to do anything, but if we will but will to do it, he will in that moment give to us all of the capacity, all of the power, and all of the ability to do it. Don't argue with him. Just say, yes, sir, and do it. Because if you will to obey the command of Christ, immediately you will receive all that is necessary to obey that command. So many times we look and we say, but that's impossible, Lord. Not anymore, because he told me to do it. And by virtue of the fact that he told me to do it, he will give me the capacity to do it. And so this man was made whole. He took up his bed and walked. But they weren't looking at the calendar. The same day was the Sabbath. And he didn't get very far until some of these black-robed men with black hats and long curls said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's interesting to me, the traditions that man can acquire. But really, what amazes me most is how deeply ingrained tradition can become in a person's life. You know, I think one of the hardest things to be freed from is tradition. It's just awfully hard to shake ourselves from tradition. Unfortunately, into the church, there has come a lot of tradition, church tradition, which has its roots in the mystery Babylon religion. But it has become a part of church tradition. But because it is tradition, it has become so deeply ingrained that when Martin Luther sought to make his break, and did make a break, it wasn't a truly clean break from all of the abuses. For he brought into the Protestant Reformation much of what was tradition brought in from the mystery Babylon religions, systems. So that as Jesus wrote to the Church of Sardis, the Protestant Reformation, he said, I have not found your work complete before God. You've still got a lot of these trappings that belong to the mystery Babylon religion that have no place in the body of Christ. But traditions are very difficult to throw off. They are so deeply ingrained within a person. They had certain traditions that had developed concerning the Sabbath. They sought to interpret the Sabbath law. They had what was known as the Mishnah, the commentaries on the law of Moses. And in the Mishnah, some 23 chapters were devoted to the interpreting of the law of the Sabbath day. Now God just said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is a day of rest. So just remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Now, they began to try to interpret this particular law, and in 23 chapters of the Mishnah, you find interpretation of the law. What constitutes bearing a burden on the Sabbath day? Now, the other day when we were in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, our bus was going down the street, and there was this little Jewish boy, looked to be 10 or 12 years old, with his black robe and black hat and long curls. And as the bus went by, he was incensed that the bus should be traveling on the Sabbath day. And he made all kinds of faces at us, finally stuck out his tongue at us, because we were daring to ride in a bus on the Sabbath day. Now, it was lawful, I guess, to stick out his tongue, but there were certain areas of the city of Jerusalem that we could not drive the bus. Certain areas that had barricades near the area known as the Miasharim. And should we have tried to drive the bus by that area, though it was unlawful to bear any burdens on the Sabbath day, they would have stoned us. This man was nailed. He's carrying a bed on the Sabbath day. Hey, fella, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up your bed and walk. Now, they no doubt knew this man. Jerusalem didn't have that many people, but what a man who had been around lame for 38 years became sort of a public figure, and people knew him, recognized him. And so he calls to their attention the fact that he was cured. Surely anybody that can cure me after 38 years of lameness must have some word of authority. And so he told me to take my bed and walk. And they asked him, who is it who said to you, take your bed and walk? And he who was healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had just conveyed himself away because there were a lot of people in that place. So afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Now, in this particular case, it would seem that Jesus related the man's illness to some sin in his life. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. There can be a relationship between sin and a particular malady, but it would be very wrong to generalize and say that any sickness or malady is directly related to some sin. This is the mistake that Job's comforters made, and it is a mistake that often people make even subconsciously in their mind when a person is quite sick or afflicted. And unfortunately, there are those evangelists today who would sort of foster that false concept. If you just had enough faith, you could be healed. Just get your life straightened up, God wants to heal everybody. And if you're not healed, it's because there's something wrong in your life, something wrong with your faith. And all they are doing is heaping heavy burdens upon the poor, sick people that they don't need, making them feel guilty or even worse in their condition. God has a special judgment, I'm sure, for such comforters. This man did not know who Jesus was until Jesus found him in the temple. And his condition had a relationship to some sin in his life. And so Jesus just warned him, go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Jesus taught that when an evil spirit goes forth out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking a house to inhabit. And in finding none, he'll come back to the house from whence he was driven. And if he finds it all swept and garnished, he will go out and get seven other spirits that they might come and make their abode in that house, so that the last estate of the man is actually worse than his first. We are told in the scriptures that it would be better for a man to never have known the way of truth than to know it and to walk away from it. If you've had a work of God wrought in your life, you then have a certain responsibility towards God. If you've come to God for some work in your life, then you do have a definite responsibility towards God. I'm not just opening your life to God's work, but opening your life to God Himself. And so the man departed and thinked on Jesus. He told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And this was something that the Jews never forgave Jesus for. This is what eventually brought Jesus to the cross. His violation of their traditional interpretation of the Sabbath day. Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, to them, their traditional keeping of the law was more important than the healing of a man. Jesus said to them one time, which of you, if you have an ox or a donkey, if it falls in a ditch on a Sabbath day, won't you lift it out? Now, if you're that concerned with your dumb animals, don't you think God is concerned with a person who is needing help? Whether it be the Sabbath day or not. So they sought to persecute Jesus because he had done this on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father works today, and I work. Aren't you glad the Father works on the Sabbath day? What if God took off every Sabbath day? Think about a mess the world would be in, you know, trying to recover from God taking a rest every Sabbath day. He that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God doesn't take any day off. God is working in the lives of his people all the time. And so Jesus said, look, my Father works, and so I work. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, there are those today who say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God, that this was something that others built up around him, the aura and all of divinity. These people studying the records today read this or get this understanding as they study the records today. Those people that Jesus talked to knew exactly what he was meaning and what he was saying. They didn't have any mistaken ideas about what he was claiming. Because if he was saying he was the Son of God, they knew that he was making himself equal with God, and they were wanting to kill him for it. Then Jesus said unto them, And he begins to talk to them now, emphasizing what he is saying with these words, verily, verily. And the repetition of the word is for emphasis. It's, all right, now hear this. I mean, it's really calling their attention to what I'm about to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And so Jesus is claiming here that his works are the work of God, that they are not his works, that he is showing to them the work of God and doing the work of God. I've brought this healing to the man, but it was God who brought the healing. I don't work apart from God. I'm working in total harmony with God. You're finding fault with me for working on the Sabbath day, but this is the work of God that was wrought on the Sabbath day. Can't you see that? But they couldn't, because tradition had blinded their eyes. For the Father loveth the Son, and he shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. God is going to continue to work and even do greater works, just that you might marvel at what he does. For as the Father raises up the dead and makes them alive, even so the Son will make alive those whom he will. And so as we follow on in the ministry of Jesus, we find him raising to life the son of that widow in the city of Nain, Jairus' daughter there in Capernaum, and finally Lazarus, who had been dead, because God can make alive even those who are dead, and the Son, doing the work of the Father, will give life to those whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son. I'm acting in accord to the Father, in harmony with him, doing his works. That all men should honor the Son, and this is what God is desiring, that we should honor the Son. Now, one of the marks of a false cult is the failure to honor the Son. There are three things that Satan is constantly attacking: the Word of God, the divinity of Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. He's attacking the Godhead. He attacks God's Word. Hath God said? And he still attacks the Word of God. He attacks the divinity of Jesus Christ, and you find this in every false cult. Try the spirits to see if they be of God, and it's their testimony of Jesus Christ where it really reveals itself. And he attacks the work of the Holy Spirit. So God has wrought these works through Jesus, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. There are so many people who say, well, I believe in God, but I don't see the necessity for Jesus, and I really don't know about Jesus. Jesus is here declaring, look, if you don't honor me, you're not honoring the Father. And so the Jehovah Witnesses and these who fail to really honor Jesus, though they claim to be Jehovah Witnesses, they are not really honoring the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Believing on the word of Jesus, believing in the Father who sent him, and he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears my words, that is, hears in the sense of observing, keeping my word, and believing on God, you have eternal life. You will not come into condemnation, but you have passed from death to life. Now, look at how man has interpreted this through the church history and how many regulations and requirements we put on a man in order to say, you know, your sins are absolved and you're a child of God. If you do this and this and this and this and this and keep these rules and read these regulations and follow this, you know, and pay your tithes and all this kind of stuff. And we lay all these heavy burdens on men. Where Jesus said, look, if you just hear my words and believe on him who sent me, you have everlasting life. You're not going to come into condemnation. You've passed from death to life. It is Satan's work to condemn the child of God. And he is very adept at it. He never ceases. The angels in the book of Revelation cry out, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out, who accuses them before God day and night. The accuser of the brethren, one of the titles of Satan, and how he accuses us. But if you hear the word of Jesus and believe on God, you have everlasting life. You won't come into condemnation.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 5. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord give you a wonderful week. And may your faith in God be increased. May the Lord help you to endure, because you can see actually what others cannot see, that eternal plan and purpose of God. And may God bring you into harmony with his purposes for your life as you walk with him this week. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, The Best of Kay Smith, is a flash drive filled with Bible studies from Kay Smith. Kay had a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus and to please God in their everyday activities. This 8-gigabyte flash drive includes 93 audio messages of some of Kay's most cherished messages to women. These studies will refresh your heart and inspire you to love God more and to be an example of Christ to others. Here's how some women have expressed how they've been impacted by Kay Smith. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus in a deeper way through her teaching. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.